الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الأبرار لفي نعيم وإن الفجار لفي جحيم وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى إن رحمة الله قريب من المحسنين صدق الله العظيم علماء الكرام most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa We have been discussing an incident in the life of Shaykh Abu Hazim Rahmatullah Alayh, who was a Tabi, meaning that he saw the Sahaba-e-Kiram radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and in fact he was one who learned from the Sahabas. He was a Mufti and a Shaykh in Medina Sharif at that time. So when Sulaiman bin Abdul Malik, who was the Khalifa of the time, when he came to Medina Sharif. So being a pious Khalifa, he also requested a meeting with someone who had met a Sahabi or someone who was a Sahabi himself. So they said that there is a Tabi, a very great Tabi, Hazrat Shaykh Abu Hazim. So the meeting took place. We have discussed some of the dialogue that took place between them. And then we were discussing that aspect in which Shaykh Abu Hazim Rahmatullah Alayh was questioned that how can I get the rahmat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But before that, just to recap very, very briefly, that his question was that why is it that we do not want to go to the akhirat? Why do our hearts not desire to go to the akhirat? So he said the reason is that amarna dunyana, because we have built up our dunya and we have spoiled our akhirat. So as a result, our hearts are so attached to this world that we don't want to even think of the akhirat. We don't want to even think of the akhirat, leave alone thinking of going there. But there was no other way of getting a mulaqat and a meeting with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala except by going to the akhirat. That is why the ahlullah, the Allah walas, they are desirous of Jannat so that they can see Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in Jannat. But at the same time they have great khawf and fear. All that khawf and fear that we read of in the hadiths, I mean in the kitabs, in the incidents, or the incidents in the lives of the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu anhu majma'in and the Awliya-i-Kiram. That is that khawf that we do not know whether Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be pleased with us, with what we have done, or over some sins of ours and mistakes of ours. Some pride may have washed away everything. Some hasad and jealousy must have burnt up everything. We don't know what could have happened. So therefore they are fearful also at the same time. But they have hope too that they tried their level best to do whatever they had to do. So therefore there is that hope that Allah Ta'ala will extend His mercy and forgive. But at the same time they do not become complacent. So he said, this is the reason that our hearts have become so indifferent, or we do not want to think of going to the akhirat, because we have built up our world. And remember one thing, that whatever you have in this world, there is some kind of attachment to it. When the children play with the toys, after a period of time, there is a kind of attachment with those toys. A little child, 2-year-old, is playing with a toy. Now that toy may be just worth a few rands, but after a few days, a few months, that child becomes sort of attached to that toy. Now if somebody else tries to snatch that toy or take it away, then the child puts up a tantrum and does as if Qiyamah has come, that the person's whole property and asset is gone. Why? Because there has, an attachment has come with that toy. And on the other hand, whilst the child is playing with that toy, if somebody has to catch the child and take it away, then too he puts up a tantrum. If you take the toy away, then too there's a problem. And if you move the child away from the toy, then too there's a problem. That is exactly the state of our lives. That our businesses, our homes, our children, our families, our properties, our gold and silver. Now all these things, because we have an attachment with it, because our hearts are attached to it. One is the usage of those things. There was nothing wrong with that. That the person is living in this world, it's a world of means. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created the means for man to make use of. So he was making use of it. He built a home, he's got a car, and he's making use of his gold and silver. But here we are talking about the attachment, that when the heart becomes so attached, that just like that child, when it is moved from that toy, it becomes restless. And if the toy is moved, it becomes restless and it puts up a tantrum. Just like that, this person also, sometimes Allah Ta'ala takes away a child. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala takes away a property. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala takes away some other asset of the person to which he was attached. Now if he had his heart attached like the child to the toy, so he becomes very, very restless. Hi, I lost this. Hi, I lost my property. Hi, my car met with an accident. Now what? Hi, this happened. Hi, he makes and he passes away from this world with hi. And on the other hand, sometimes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala then sends the angel of death, and the angel of death takes this person away. He leaves all the toys there. Those children were playing with those little cars. Now this person was playing with his big cars. The children were playing with those little homes. This person was playing with those big homes. The children were bragging about the big palace that they were building with those toys. What, the Lego, what you call that? Lego. Achha, Lego. So now they build big palaces and then they brag about it. Or on the sand they build big castles and they say, I have got 10 rooms, and look at my lounge, and look at my dining room, and look at my... Now that person was bragging, another child came jumped on the sand, and all the castle went flat. So in the same way, just as that child, when the toy was removed, it became a big problem, because the heart was attached to the toy. Or when the child was moved from the toy, because the heart was attached, it became restless. In the same way, sometimes Allah Ta'ala then sends the angel of death and moves this person away and leaves all his toys behind. Now, because his heart was attached, when he sees the angel of death, he makes, hi, I'm going to leave behind everything. Hi, I'm going to leave behind everything. How I'm going to go now? Because my whole life was this home, my car, my gold, my silver, my asset, my position, my status. Now all these things I'm going to leave behind. So this is what happens when the person's heart becomes attached. Hazrat Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, one incident comes to mind, that his father was also a very great alim and a wali, and wali a kamil. So he fell very, very sick one night. And it was as if it was a touch and go kind of thing, that it was time to depart from this world. So at that time, anybody else would have shouted for his wife, for his children, or somebody, that please come quickly, this is my state that I'm about to go. So he didn't call anybody. The next morning, alhamdulillah, the pain subsided. So then he mentioned it to his wife. The raat ko to aisa qissa hua tha ke bilkul goya ke jaane ka waqt aa gaya tha. So he said, then why didn't you get me up? Why didn't you call me? So he said, kya wo koi waqt tha tumhe bulane ka? Apne maula ke paas jaane ka waqt tha. To us waqt kuch tumhe yaad karne ka waqt tha. He says, that was my time now to go to my maula, and at that time you want me to call you. Now look at their hearts. And there are so many like that incidents, that they looked forward to it. They used to get excited. They used to get happy. If they got some kind of kashf that your time is up now and you are going to go, there are so many incidents, they got kashf. So now they got excited and happy that when that time will come, now when that time will come. Why? Because their hearts were not attached to those worldly things. Now this is something that it does not come just like that. It does not come until we live or spend time with a person in whose heart the dunya is not there. Until the person himself has got plenty of dunya in his heart, when we are going to sit in his company, our hearts will be filled with nothing but the love of dunya. But when we are going to sit with those people who make use of the ni'mats that Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with, Allah Ta'ala has provided them with, they make use of the worldly goods and possessions and material things. But you will see very, very conspicuous in their lives that their hearts are not attached at all. It means nothing to them. If there is some loss that they suffer, they say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And if some ni'mat they get, they say, Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Both ways they are happy. That natural grief, that is a different thing. But they don't become so depressed that they want to take their lives. And what do we do now? As if Qiyamah has come. And yet the person may have so much of other things in his possession. But just on the loss of that small property of his, or that little bit of wealth, or that little bit of goods, and the person hastens towards the insurance agents and everybody that now must begin insuring. If only I was insured, then this wouldn't have happened. This wouldn't have happened. Now the person is worried about insurance. Again, there are certain fatwas that are given. What insurance can be taken, what cannot be taken. And for weak people like us, there are certain things that the muftis have declared as permissible in certain conditions. I'm not talking about those fatwas. What I'm talking about is that why? Why do we feel like that? Or why do we hasten towards these insurance companies? Because we believe and truly believe that if these things were insured, then our car would not have got smashed. And if it got smashed, then we would have got our full money back. But we forget that if that person is going to take anything that is haram, if he's going to benefit from that which is haram. Now the life insurance policies, we know that if the person took a 10 million policy and he paid one premium and then he departed from this world, then his family will be paid out 10 million. Now that 10 million, from where did it come? The person paid one premium and he got 10 million. So where did it come from? It's all the same. Haram, interest money, this money, that money, all that. That is what they take from this person and give it to you. They charge interest 20%, 30% to somebody. They take that money and they give it to the other person. So now all that kind of ala bala that comes, then it is going to drag away even the good money. That is what is going to happen. And how many people have been killed by their own children because of those insurance policies? And now even further than that, people even fake their own deaths because they want to get paid out. So many things are happening. So whatever Sharia declares, there is nothing but goodness in it. So therefore here, when the person, as I said, either the person's heart is attached to it, or when the person's heart is attached to it, so either that property is removed or he himself is removed. One of the two things that happens. And the person makes hi-hi like the child, that either you move him away from the toy or you move the toy away from the child. So therefore, as the Shaykh Abu Hazim Rahmatullah Alayhi says, he says that that is the reason. That because we have built up this dunya, therefore we are not interested in thinking of going to the akhirah. So that was discussed at some length. Then we were talking about, he said that, how do I know how Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will deal with me on the day of Qiyamah? So he says, Allah Tabaraka, oh, what has he got for me on the day of Qiyamah? So he says, well then put yourself before the ayat of the Quran Sharif, or gauge yourself, or test yourself, that where do you stand? Innal abrara lafi naqim, wa innal fujjara lafi jahim. So the good ones will go to Jannat, and the bad ones will go to Jahannam. Now you must think where you are. And then we're talking about, inna rahmatallahi qareebun minal muhsineen, when he said that, where do I find the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala? How can I know how to get the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala? So he said, "Inna rahmatallahi qareebun minal muhsineen." So whilst we were discussing this, my mind went on to one ayat of the Quran Sharif, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala talking about the muttaqeen. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that kanu qaleelan min al-layli ma yahjawun. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, "Innal muttaqeena fi jannatin wa quyun, akhizina ma ataahum rabbuhum." They will be taking from their Rabb what their Rabb will be giving to them. Innahum kanu qabla dhalika muhsineen. That before this they were from the muhsineen. Those who had the sifat of ihsan in them. They were the doers of good. And Allah Ta'ala says, Inna rahmatallahi qareebun minal muhsineen. So some of the sifats of the muhsineen. There are many others that have been mentioned other places. But in this, the first one that was mentioned was, kanu qaleelan minal layli ma yahja'oon. Alhamdulillah, after that explanation that I gave last week, many brothers, without exaggeration, mentioned that something that they never ever did in the past. They always thought that we have to get up from our bed and then go and make the Tahajjud Salat, but because of laziness and the influence of shaitan and nafs, it was very difficult to get up and make the Tahajjud, so they slept. But they said that now after that explanation, Allah at least, and without exaggeration, many have told me that we get up, we sit on the bed, and for a few minutes, we do exactly what you said. And we said, oh Allah, I'm extremely lazy, I'm very weak, I don't have the strength to go and make the Tahajjud Salat. But oh my beloved Allah, at this moment in time, you are watching me, and you are seeing the shame that is in my heart of all the sins that I have committed in my life. Who do I turn to besides you? So for a few minutes they make some istighfar and some tawbah and turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And I said that that will inshallah give the person the himmat and the courage that sooner or later then he will get up and he'll start making some wuzu and some tahajjud, because when he'll start getting an enjoyment in those few minutes, then he will say that why should I not just get out of my bed and get connected with my Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Let me put my forehead in sajda and get this connection that I'm desirous of. So alhamdulillah, some even started the tahajjud salat after that. This is all the fazl of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So kanu qaleelam min al-layli ma yahjaun. They used to sleep but a little at night. And as I explained that there are two explanations of this. One is that they used to sleep very little at night. Most of the time they used to spend in their ibadat, in the zikr, in the tilawat. And the other meaning, if you take that ma'a is nafya, then it means that they used to sleep most of the night, and a little part of the night they used to stay awake. So now look at how easy it became with these explanations. That most of the night they sleep, but that little part of the night they stay awake in some zikr, some tilawat. So kanu qadilam min al-layli ma yahja'oon. وَبِالْأَسْحَارِ هُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And then after engaging themselves in that ibadat, in that zikr, in the tilawat, in the tahajjud, after doing that, then they don't brag in the morning. They don't go around bragging about what they have done at night. They don't go around announcing that this is what I did at night. Sometimes shaitan makes us announce in the way of shukr. Shaitan is too shrewd. He knows all the tricks of the trade. So sometimes he will say that, which other way can you announce what you did at night? So therefore announce it in this way, shukr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, last night, whole night I stayed awake. I made tilawat and I made zikr and I made ibadat and I teared and I cried. Now shaitan used the same ploy. He's making you say it with shukr of Allah ta'ala. But if you look deep into the person's heart, it is an announcement of what the person did last night. If it is for targheeb, if it is for encouragement to somebody else, or it is to tell it to the one's shaykh or somebody that will give him dua and be happy and pleased that at least the person made some effort to change his life, then that is permissible, that is acceptable. In fact, it's sometimes necessary. But I am talking about where without any need, without any necessity, without any real reason, just so that the person may be recognized as one who is tahajjud guzar, one who is engaged in ibadat and zikr and tilawat at night, so the person goes around bragging. Whereas Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that wabil ashari hum yastaghfirun. And when the night passes after they have engaged themselves in all these type of zikr, tilawat, ibadat, and now they are not proud, they do not get ujub and vanity, they do not fall prey to shaitan's pranks. Now they make istighfar and tawbah that, oh my beloved Allah, we have not been able to do justice to this ibadat. We have not been able to do justice to the haqq of ibadat. They make istighfar. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after every namaz, he used to make istighfar. Now which sin did he commit in the namaz that he was making istighfar? And the Sahaba say sometimes in one majlis we used to count that he made astaghfirullah 100 times. And 70 times was normal. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, from which sin was he making istighfar? But because of that azmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He was looking at the greatness of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He had the greatest ma'rifat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Therefore he was making istighfar. It was not for because of any sin. And to teach the ummah that if the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who is so close to Allah Ta'ala, who is masoom, who is sinless, but if he is making so much of istighfar, then what about you, O ummati, where day and night you are drowning in the ocean of sins, why should you not increase your istighfar? And to whom does the benefit of istighfar go? So many times you have heard hadiths on istighfar, you have heard ayats of the Quran Sharif on istighfar. I'm not doing any tafsir. But for encouragement, that you have heard many times, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that there are two means of protection, or two ways that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protected people on this earth from his azab. If you want security, if you want protection, then there are two things. One was the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that until he was amongst the people, Allah ta'ala didn't send an arm azab. Allah ta'ala gave them a chance. And the other one is istighfar. That as long as they were making istighfar, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not punish them, did not send some kind of azab that destroyed all of them. Yes, here and there some destruction. As Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. So they're making istighfar. Now they were kuffar, but they were making some kind of istighfar, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was protecting them from azab. Therefore Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi said that إِذَا كَانَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارِ يَنْفَعُ الْكُفَّارِ, that when this istighfar was even beneficial to the kuffar, فَكَيْفَ لَا يُفِيدُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الْأَبْرَارِ, that mu'mineen who is from the abrar, who is from the pious and righteous ones, he is doing righteous and good actions and deeds. If he is going to make istighfar, why should this istighfar not benefit him when this istighfar was even benefiting the kuffar? So it is something that we can clutch onto, because we are extremely weak. We are not sinless. We are not masoom. And furthermore, our environment, we know that how much of temptation towards sin there is. Now those young people who keep saying that, no, we try, but we again fail. We try and we fail. So as much as you must give it up, because you tried and failed, you don't have to give it up. Just as shaitan put the person into the trap of sin, so now increase the istighfar so much that shaitan also says that I fail with this person. I am trying to drag him into the gutters. I am trying to pull him to Jahannam. But here I make him commit one small sin and he makes so much of istighfar that he breaks my back. Then shaitan himself will run away. He'll say, like Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, one time tahajjud salat, he overslept. The next day suddenly he sees somebody shaking him up, get up, tahajjud, tahajjud. So he said, well, who are you? And how did you come inside here? So he said, no, don't worry, I'm someone that has got great interest at heart for you and I'm very much concerned about your welfare. He said, no, but who are you? Then he said, mujhe iblis kehte hai. So now iblis, why are you interested in getting me up for tahajjud? He said, no, last night when I made you oversleep, then you cried so much that my tahajjud went today. That your stages went even higher than before. So that's why you'd rather get up and make the tahajjud than stay where you are. Instead of going very high. So if shaitan has to catch the person in some kind of a trap and make him commit some kind of a sin, so in the first place, have no intention of committing that sin. Make up the intention that I'm not going to commit that sin. I will try my level best to stay away from that sin. I will make firar ilallah, fafirru ilallah. But then too, as a human being, the person got caught. So now increase the istighfar. And when the person is going to do that, then his stage will be the same as the muttaqin. According to that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, where he said that the person who makes istighfar in abundance, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala elevates him to the same level of the muttaqin. And again it has been mentioned that those same promises which have been made for those of taqwa, Allah ta'ala has made to those people who are making istighfar in abundance. That Allah ta'ala will find a way out for them in their problems and in their difficulties. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will provide for them risk and sustenance from sources unknown to them. That same promise is made. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. That promise which is made to the muttaqeen, the same promise for those who are making plenty of istighfar. So one is istighfar, that is from the sins of the past, that the person makes istighfar. That, Ya Allah, those sins that I committed, I'm ashamed, I regret. But now he has got to also make tawbah with it. And tawbah means that in future he has no intention of returning to those sins. And also now he must show it by way of his action, that he starts making the qazas, he starts repaying to whomsoever whatever is due. Then that shows that he is sincere in his istighfar and tawbah. But this is something that then raises this person's level. Kabhi ta'aton ka surur hai, kabhi aitiraaf-e-qusoor hai. Kabhi ta'aton ka surur hai, kabhi aitiraaf-e-qusoor hai. Hey malak ko jis ki nahi khabar, wo huzoor mera huzoor hai. اے ملک کو جس کی نہیں خبر وہ حضور میرا حضور ہے کبھی طاعتوں کا سرور ہے. Sometimes I'm extremely happy that, oh Allah, you gave me the tawfiq of making ta'at, of being obedient to you, of making namaz, zikr, tilawat, taking care of my parents, looking after my children, and giving charity and assisting and helping and all, anything that is of that brings sawab and neki and blessing. So sometimes I'm excited and I'm happy. Or kabhi aitiraaf-e qusoor hai. And sometimes, oh my Allah, I'm ashamed. I find myself extremely weak. I haven't been able to do justice to any of the ibadat. I haven't been able to undertake the ibadat. I haven't been able to make tilawat of the Quran Sharif for so many days. Sometimes I'm ashamed of that. And therefore I'm crying. There are so many huffaz of the Quran Sharif. Sometimes they only pick it up in the month of Ramadan. And the Quran Sharif curses them the whole year. So the person says, Ya Allah, sometimes I am expressing my happiness over ta'at, and sometimes I am expressing my shame and nadamat over my sins. Hey malak ko jiski nahi khabar, wo huzoor mera huzoor. And when I'm making nadamat, when I'm expressing shame, when I'm tearing before you, O my beloved Allah, when my forehead is on the ground, at that time, O my beloved Allah, my forehead is not on the ground, it is at your feet. Although Allah doesn't have feet like us, it means it's tajalli. So although I am on the farsh, but at that time, the speed with which this tawbah of mine is reaching the arsh, even the angels are not aware of that. The speed with which this person's tawbah and nadamat and shame is reaching the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala is opening the doors and welcoming this person. Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he made a mistake. It was not a sin. He was desirous of staying in Jannat for all times. And this is what Shaitan whispered, that if you're going to eat this fruit, then you will remain in Jannat forever and ever. Now which person doesn't like to stay in Jannat forever and ever? Nevertheless, he had the fruit, he was sent down onto earth. Then the Quran Sharif tells us, فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he taught Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, those kalimat that came was from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala himself. And it was by means of those kalimat that Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam made tawbah. And what were those kalimat? رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Now when he made tawbah with this, so the Mufassirin have said that when the Arabs used to use this word, talaqqa, said when a person was coming from a very, very far distance, and when he was making mulaqat with somebody, that is the time they used to make the use of this word talaqqa. So it means that when Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam made that little mistake, at that time he was very far. And the moment he read this kalimat of رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَّمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, then he became very close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So if you want to get close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is again the same istighfar and tawbah. The pattern has been set for us by our father, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. There is no other way, because we don't have that kind of taqwa like the great walis. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, this is one of the sifats of the muhsineen. وَبِالْأَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. At dawn, or early part of the morning, or late part of the night, whatever you call it, then at that time, after having spent the night in ibadat, in zikr, in tilawat, in all kinds of actions that gain the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, now they are making istighfar. They are asking Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. Mera har khata pe rona, yehi hai meri talafi. Mera har khata pe rona, mera har khata pe rona, yehi hai meri talafi. Teri rahmaton ka sadqa, mera jurm afw karna. O my beloved Allah, what else do I have except the tears of nadamat and shame over every sin of mine? And O Allah, with your rahmat, with the sadqa of your rahmat, to forgive me. So this is the thing, that for a mu'min, for a Muslim, that he makes an effort to do that which he has to do. He must not take it for granted that just because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is ghafoorur raheem, so now he has got a license to commit sins. This is the major mistake that we seem to be making, that we confuse the two. That on the one hand, whenever we listen to the hadiths of maghfirat and istighfar and tawbah and the ayat of istighfar and tawbah, then we get a lot of courage and himmat that Allah Ta'ala is very forgiving, very merciful. So therefore, no matter how far we may have gone, we should not lose hope. We should not despair of His mercy. That's what it means. We should return to Him. But on the other hand, sometimes we take the wrong meaning of that, that because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned so many places about acceptance of tawbah, and because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given so much of virtues of tawbah, so therefore the door of tawbah is open. Just before death we will make proper tawbah. Until then, carry on with our own lifestyles. So then sometimes that tawfiq of tawbah is taken away, and the person dies in a condition that is very, very shameful. And he doesn't get the tawfiq of tawbah, because he was taking advantage of this, thinking that Allah Ta'ala is ghafoorur raheem, so I can carry on committing adultery, fornication, fraud, zina, anything. And then before that I'll make tawbahs. So will the angel of death come and inform him that certain day I'll be visiting you, so you must stay ready and make proper tawbah on that day. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq of sincere tawbah. There's one more sifat that has been mentioned after that in this verse, another two or three also some have said, that inshallah if Allah Ta'ala gives life, health and another opportunity, will continue. So we make dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that He forgive us. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Allahumma rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina azaban nar. Allah hamare gunahukum afu. Allah, forgive our major sins and minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh my beloved Allah, you are Ghafoorur Raheem. You are Sattarul Uyub. You are Ghaffarul Zunub. Oh my beloved Allah, we have indeed sinned and we have harmed no one but ourselves. Ya Allah, we are extremely sinful servants of yours. Ya Allah, ہم بہت ہی مجرم ہیں, ہم خطا کار ہیں, ہم گنہ گار ہیں, ہم سیاہ کار ہیں, ہم سب کچھ ہے بندے مگر تیرے. We are your slaves and your servants. Oh my beloved Allah, where do we go? Where do we go, oh my beloved Allah? Who is there for us besides you? تیرے سوا ہمارا کوئی سہارا نہیں, تیرے سوا کوئی ہمارا نہیں. Oh Allah, bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Ya Allah, bless us with the best of this world and the best of akhirah. O my beloved Allah, protect us and safeguard us from all sins, major and minor. Ya Allah, bless us with your qurb, with your marifat, with your yaqeen, with your muhabbat. Bless us with prosperity, with happiness. Bless us with the life of taqwa, zuhud and qanaat. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with the nur of taqwa. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabbat and the love of Rasulullah. Ya Allah, when the time of departure comes from this world, then take us away in the state of Iman. Bless us with Shahadat in Madina Tayyibah. Bless us with Baryal in Jannatul Baqi. Don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. Let the angel of death visit us in a state that you are pleased with us. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala al-Nabi. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallim. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.